Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Joe Murray, creator of Rocco's Modern Life in Camp Lazlo. You're listening to Mr. Media.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk with legendary comics and Man Magazine artist Sergio Aragonés, whose work is celebrated in a new collection, Mad's Greatest Artists, Sergio Aragonés, Five Decades of His Finest Works. Stick around or risk being marginalized.
Hey, did you know that you can listen to the latest Mr. Media show right on your phone with the Stitcher app? Stitcher is smart radio for your smartphone. Mr. Media is on demand and on the go with Stitcher. Download Stitcher for your phone today. Get the free app at www.stitcher.com. That's STITCHER.com.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Mandelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are more than 600 archived celebrity interviews for your listening pleasure. The show is brought to you today by ThePartyAuthority.us. Planning a wedding, mitzvah, or corporate event? For any and all occasions, call The Party Authority nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJS. That's 1-800-342-5357, where one call does it all. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of Sergio Aragonés fans dressed up for Halloween as Gru the Wanderer in the new media capital of the world and home of the 2010 American League East champion Tampa Bay Rays, St. Petersburg, Florida. Now, my first issue of Mad Magazine was purchased near the checkout counter at a Stop and Shop supermarket in North Brunswick, New Jersey. It was July 1970. I'll never forget the cover, a parody of the summer's big hit, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, featuring a couple of actors named Redford and Newman. I read that so many times, I memorized what was in it, but I didn't see that movie until just a few years ago, believe it or not. Now, I no longer have that copy of Mad, but I suspect that that was my first exposure to legendary artist Sergio Aragonés. Sergio has been producing illustrated gags for Mad since 1963, and for many fans, his work and the Humor Mag's name are forever entwined. He has been one of the usual gang of idiots for longer than I've been able to spell idiots. This month, Sergio, who has already won the National Cartoonist Society's top honor, the Rubin Award, as well as the Will Eisner Hall of Fame Award and the Comic Art Professional Society's Sergio Award, named after, named after him. Well, he's being recognized in a different way now with a book retrospective. Mad's Greatest Artist, Sergio Aragonés, Five Decades of His Finest Works, is an oversized coffee table collectible that reproduces some of his finest, craziest material in a hardcover format that will no doubt outlast us all. It is a great honor to have him as a guest today. Sergio Aragonés, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob. That was a great intro. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, it's easy to do it when you have good material to work with, right? And I didn't even mention plop. I mean, you know, come on.
Well, after so many years of working, there's so much material, because besides Mad, I have always been doing comics and all kinds of other illustrations. So it is 50 years of work, you know, so it's hard to tell what one and what, you know. So but Mad is my biggest accomplishment, my treasure, my life. You know, it's been not only a work, it's a family, you know, because once you dwell into Mad, you realize that all of us are like brothers, more than colleagues.
I respect that you didn't call it your mortgage payment, but okay.
No. It's I don't know if you know, but Bill Gaines, the publisher, used to take us to trips all over around the world. Mm-hmm. Everything paid. We went to over 30 trips overseas. Went to African safaris, we went to Tahiti, Japan, Russia, name it, and we all been there, and it's not only working together, it's almost living together in these trips that lasted 10 days. So for 10 days, it was like you were there with your best friends. So It's been, when I arrived, I didn't know anybody. I barely spoke the language. And suddenly those doors opened to me. It was more than I ever dreamed that could happen to me. You know, so.
Well, now I want to ask you about Gaines, but you just opened the door to something else. I mean, you show up at this magazine and you barely speak the language. How does what you do translate at that point? I mean, it was not as multi-ethnic, multilingual society as maybe it is now. How did you overcome that?
Well, when I, since very young, since I started, I have had a fascination with pantomime humor. Maybe because when I was young, I couldn't understand jokes in any other language but Spanish, and I used to go to places where they sold foreign magazines to see what was happening in cartooning, and I realized that the ones I liked the best were a lot of French humor that never used any words. They were pantomime cartoons, so I started doing those and figured out, well, like this, everybody can understand it. So when I arrived to the United States, I had piles of cartoons without words. And in those times, it was impossible to sell a cartoon without words. Even in magazines that advertise the places to work will say, cartoons without words not accepted. So when every magazine I went says, this is too crazy, you should go to MAD. And when I did, they liked what they saw. And from now on, it was a series of cartoons without words that they figured it out, well, everybody can understand. So I got accepted immediately, which was great. Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Let me see if I'm understanding this correctly, Sergio. So you're basically saying that you are the Marcel Marceau of American comics.
I just answer you. No. Yes.
Oh, that was good.
No, it's been very few follow that that vein because the market is not that large. So you have to do cartoons with and without words. But in my case, because I had a place to put them on, I could continue doing cartoons without words without problem. Then when I start doing books of cartoons, they were books without words. I did a series of books, one called Louder Than Words, Action Speaks, a series of books. But when I start doing comics, then I have to use words because the comic book field has to have words. It's not like a single cartoon. It's a story to be told. And yes, I can do a pantomime comic, but it'll be like an exercise. Like when you go to the theater, you like to listen to words, but once in a while you go to see Marcel Marceau. But once in a while, you cannot have your life without words, you know. But yes.
Now, people who know something about pantomime, I say Marcel Marceau, it's maybe a generation ago, but, you know, people do still recognize who that is. But people who know your work probably feel like they know you because you've drawn yourself into so many of your gags.
Well, that was a need. When I start publishing the pocketbooks, I did about 20 pocketbooks for MAD with new material. The majority of cartoonists drew a character that people recognize. You can Popeye or Little Lulu or many. The characters are what sell the book. And then once you know the character, then you know the author. But doing cartoons without any character in particular, so I figured out, well, if I draw something quite not myself on the cover, like this, every book that I do, I put myself, and then they know it's my book. So I became kind of one character, like a comic book character. But that was for helping the unity of the books. So I just continued doing it in the vignettes in MAD and in the covers of books. Even in the new book, I drew myself on the cover because people recognize that probably as a character already after 50 years.
Do you think that that you do draw yourself into so much of your work that has been part of the difference in why you have endured for so long when so many other artists have come and gone?
The cartoonists that have gone and been that disappear is because they did something so typical or so at the moment that when the moment passed, if they didn't change, they passed. So it's while I do, I think it's universal. It's a cartoon that has no specific time. The only thing I have to change is the clothes. Like when I did cartoons about, in the beginning, about computers, everybody thought that I had put a television set on the desk. So once computers became a common object, then I can draw a computer. The clothes change, the hair change. So but the humor is universal, it's eternal. They're the same problems that people have been having through centuries in society, in politics, in everything. It is always the same problem. So you just keep it a little more contemporary, grow with the public, and try that your cartoons also change. In the book, on the you can see from the early drawings to the latest pages, you can see three or four different artists, which is me, who have changed slowly with time. It's a progression. It's a progression which keeps you alive, and it keeps your cartoons alive. And many generations, they discover you, and if they see in it the freshness that I try to put on it, they continue. So I think that's the secret, not the fact that I'm in it. I think it's the fact that I try to be in touch with the new generations.
But you have made yourself into a brand by putting yourself into the cartoons.
Yeah.
Do you think that your sense of humor or your style of illustration, that one or the other has been more important, again, to, you know, the endurance that you've accomplished?
Well, my style is so simple that yes, it helped. That when you look at the cartoon, it's not drawn for any specific form of style or trend. It is a nebbishy cartoon that doesn't represent any time. So yes, I think that the silliness of the drawing, accomplished with a fortunate state of humor that I don't know where I got it. I guess since I was very young, because I don't remember not drawing since I was a baby. I was drawing, but. So that has allowed it, the simplicity of the cartoon to be there, you know. Yeah, and they're so silly. Young kids like it because it's silly. You can give my book to a 5-year-old and he will be fascinated by the little drawings because they get fascinated by silliness. Like they could, if you give them the comic strips, they look at the silly characters or the animation, and they get fascinated by it. The older people will like the content of it, the what I'm trying to convey, the satire, the making fun of stuff, the criticism, without being heavy, without punching people, and so it hits different levels. It hits different levels.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media radio interview with legendary comics and Mad Magazine artist Sergio Aragonés, whose work is celebrated in a new collection, Mad's Greatest Artists, Sergio Aragonés, 5 decades of his finest works. And we will be right back.
Ever thought of hosting your own radio show? Now you can by registering at blogtalkradio.com. While you're there, check out our selection of premium packages. To start your own show today, visit blogtalkradio.com.
This is a public disservice message from the National Lampoon Radio Hour.
Don't waste your evenings doing volunteer work at your local mental hospital. Remember, even if you do, the crazy people there will probably think you didn't.
that was from the National Lampoon's group of guys who were in very large part influenced by Mad Magazine in the 60s. And, of course, this is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media radio interview with legendary comics and Mad Magazine artist Sergio Aragonés, whose work is celebrated in a new collection, Mad's Greatest Artists, Sergio Aragonés, Five Decades of His Finest Works. And before I bring Sergio back, here's a special offer for Mr. Media radio listeners who are on Twitter. The first person who retweets a link to this Mr. Media interview with Sergio Aragonés will qualify to receive a free paperback copy of Bill Shelley's book, Founders of Comic Fandom. Email a link to your retweet, and if you don't know what that is, it's not going to help. you either know or you don't, to bob@mrmedia.com, bob@mrmedia.com. And if you're the winner, I'll write back for your physical mailing address and send the book to you. Only the first retweeter will win, so do it now. So, Sergio, you mentioned Bill Gaines early on, and he was known for a lot of things, most of them good. Certainly among his creative people, he was known for treating you guys pretty well. Yeah. Do you have a good Bill Gaines story?
Oh, I have tons of them. I mean, he will live for the trips. I mean, the guy had a reputation of being very, like, being stingy. But he was not stingy. He was, for instance, when you went to have dinner with him, he will pay for it. He will invite you to the finest wines. He never, never thought about it, about money. If you were in trouble, he will lend you anything you needed. He was always there for you. But when he came to the office, he was totally strict. For instance, I remember once I was in New York, the offices are in New York, and he walked around and says, "Who called New Jersey?" And so I got to one of the editors says, I did. He says, "Well, you owe me 53 cents." So he had to keep the magazine exactly to the penny. So he was like that. So people just see that side and says, "Oh, my God, is the guy stingy? You know, he's a millionaire and it's worrying about pennies." But he was worried about pennies because of the order of the magazine. But he was also a legendary eater. You know, he was a gourmet. He will knew about foods all over. And he will choose the trips according before the trip about the best restaurants. And he will take us there. So in Paris, we did La Tour d'Argent, who was the most expensive restaurant in Paris. And Marseille, we went to the best. He will put three or four guides and look for the best restaurants that were listed on the thing, and we'll go to the best everything. He was a terrific guy. He was like a crazy uncle, because when it came to arguing about contracts, he became a publisher. And he was always arguing with him and everything, but he was a very fair man. He was a very fair man.
I guess it's that generation, as you were describing how he would be so generous with the dinner or with the trip, and yet in the office so tight with a penny on the phone calls. I was reminded of, Will Eisner. You and I had a conversation off air before we started, and Will was, some people thought he was just stingy as hell, and some people thought he was generous to a fault. And I know that the most famous story was when his staff collected all these little pencils that most people would have thought were too small to be useful anymore, but Will always kept, and they made a belt out of them so that he always had them.
Yeah, well, also with Will, while we happened, a lot of people thought he was stingy. He was smart. What happened is sometimes you go for dinners with a lot of people, and they start accumulating, and everybody start drinking. And many of the people you don't know, and because you're a celebrity or because you're the top guy, everybody assumes that you're going to pay. So he was smart. He says, "Wait a minute, you know, I mean, I'm not paying." So he will go, says, "Excuse me for a second," and he will go to the bathroom and stay there, you know, or leave, because he was not going to get stuck with a bill for the 20 people that he didn't know. So a lot of people say, "Oh, wow, what a way to avoid it." But wait a minute, the people who stay are not that clever. You know? So he was not going to be taken by people, you know, and he came from an era that was a very difficult era, as you know, the Depression and all that. So he was, he knew where to put the money for the future. You know, cartoonists, we don't make that much money except if you are very lucky and you get a character that gets into television or you get a lot of merchandise. But if not, you can become very, very famous and still don't have any money. Because it depends how you manage your accounts, and he was well managed. He was very good at managing his accounts, but that has nothing to do with being stingy.
Right. Well, let me bring this back to your work. Tell me about how the illustrations and the margins for which you are so well known. How did that get started?
Well, what happened is that when I arrived to Mad, I have already sold one article, and then I sold another one and another one and cover ideas, and they told me, well, Sergio, you have sold material here for a few months, so come back in a few months. And I couldn't do that. I wanted to be there every month. So I was looking at the borders on the magazine, and they have some text, and I couldn't understand it because my English was Neil, you know. So I asked one of the guys what this means. And he would say, well, did you see that movie? And I said, no. Well, then you won't understand it. What about this one? Did you read so-and-so book? No. Well, then you won't understand it either. So I figured out, well, if people cannot understand that, I can make cartoons that everybody can understand, my little pantomime cartoons. So I told them about it, and they said, well, it cannot be done. You know what I mean? That small and without words. It cannot be done, and I told them it can be done. So I drew ones. I drew them all at the real size and pasted them up on top of the other old sayings, and I showed it to them, and they thought it was a great thing for Matt because it was crazy, and says, well, we'll run it until he runs out of ideas. So so far I'm still doing it after 50 years, you know. But yeah, that was the beginning, and they keep being appearing since then in the corners, on the borders. And we get a lot of mail sometimes. People then say, I've been buying the magazine for so many years, and suddenly I catch on to these cartoons, and I have to go back and start reading them all over again to find them and things like that. So it's been a lot of fun with them.
And do people think that you draw that small? Do they understand that you...
Well, I draw almost that small. I just draw them double the size. Because if you draw them larger, you tend to put a lot of detail. The larger the drawing, the more detail you put. So when they reduce them, the detail becomes like a blob because the lines get together. So I have to draw them small and with a rapidograph to keep the line straight and so they don't get confused with it. So I draw them small, not that small, but just double size. So I don't add too much detail. They're simple and easy to read. And so far it's been thousands and thousands of them, ten thousand at least.
No.
Yeah.
No. And in the couple of minutes that we have left, I wanted to come back. We talked about Bill Gaines, but I wondered who some of the other madmen, if you will, over the years that you work with, who was the funniest of them, who was the strangest,
The funniest of them all is Al Jaffe. Al Jaffe is the best storyteller. He is a man who has a rhythm to tell jokes that when you are with him, you are, and he has stories forever, because the man has had a life from a youthful in Europe doing the pogroms to now. You know, it's just a fascinating man. And the writers are the funny guys because they are always trying to outdo each other. So when you're in a mad trip, us artists, we just sit and listen to these guys. You know, talking and making jokes. I remember once we were in Rome. We were looking at the Sistine Chapel, and there we are looking at the roof, and the guy says, and it took Michelangelo 5 years to paint the roof, and silence, there's a big silence, and then one of the mad guys says, two coats? So, and of course it was Larry Siegel, one of the writers. So they were always pulling stuff that was so funny. But the Don Martin, which is so funny as an artist, he was a very quiet guy. So usually each one has a different trend. Dick DeBartolo is always having pranks. He's been on television. He's a great writer. And he was always pulling stunts. And he will go with me and we'll say, okay, now in a very lush hotel, he will trip in the stairs and fall all the way down and get up like nothing had happened, you know, and continue that conversation with me that I have just walked down like nothing had happened. And things like that. There was always something happened, you know. We could spend hours just talking about things that happened on the trips. But there's a book by Frank Jacobs about Bill Gaines, which is a wonderful biography. And he talks a lot about the Mad books. You know, it's the Bill Gaines biography by Frank Jacobs, another extremely funny writer and poet. Great book.
I'm thinking that I may have read that book at some point. That sounds very familiar. Because as you were talking about the trips and the food, and I kept thinking, I couldn't have learned about all that stuff already in reading the magazines. I mean, some of that I know, because on the letters pages there would be pictures from the trips or a little description of the trip. But the detail that I seem to have in my head, maybe I read that book because it's very familiar. It brought back a lot.
It's a good book, and you probably have it because it was very popular when it came out about 10 years ago.
Well, we have completely run out of time. I don't know how, but folks, listen, you can find the retrospective of legendary cartoonist Sergio Aragonés' comic illustrations. It's called Mad's Greatest Artists, Sergio Aragonés, 5 Decades of His Finest Works. It's a great bookstores everywhere, or you can order it right now at a great price at MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Sergio, can people find you on Twitter or Facebook? Are you wasting time with any of that stuff?
No, I don't. I'm not in any of those things. I dedicate
probably
my time
as well
to my family and work.
Probably a good move.
Yes.
Well, it was such an honor to have you on the show today. You're in very good company. We've had Al Jaffe's been on the show, Arnold Roth, and Patrick McDonald, who did the foreword to your book, has been on. So, isn't he great? Yeah.
It's good. The first thing you look on the newspapers because it is so tender and fun. You know, great man.
Well. All I can say is thank you. Thank you so much for all the laughs and for just delightful to have you here today.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you very much.
All right. You take care of yourself.
We'll talk again. You'll see.
I would like that. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, amigo.
And, folks, for more original art interviews with your favorite comics artists and writers, you can surf over to our main website, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. And please take advantage of this great offer for Mr. Media radio listeners. Go to audiblepodcast.com/MRmedia to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/MRmedia for your free audiobook. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@mrmedia.com. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, twitter.com/Andelman, or on Facebook, just search Mr. Media Interviews. It's a great way to keep up with the latest interviews or find out what's coming up soon. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always a pleasure to have you here with us, giving up a little bit of your day and spend it here. Thanks for listening.